Before I begin my message today, I would be remiss if I didn't recognize and say thank you to all of those who have gone into not only decorating the church, but especially today and things to come. The children's program will be next week. There's all kinds of activity. Everyone knows that your schedules gets altered, your time absolutely captivated by all. And the things that on the stage and the platform, I am just so appreciative. And so we won't have to wait until the last. Would you mind just honoring their time and their efforts and just give them a clap one more time for the things that they've done today? Thank you. Amen. So we have come to the point to where we want to look at the wise men in Matthew, the second chapter. And before I get there and while you're turning to those pages, I just want to say thank you on behalf of the pastoral staff for your gifts and for not only what you do in the form of an offering, but what you do to just honor us. We hope we're doing a good job. We hope that we are worthy of the calling that God has given us and the place that he has placed us. And we just thank you. What an opportunity, what a wonderful honor it is and a privilege to be on the pastoral staff of this church. But let's look at these wise men. Every year, somewhere in there, you get a Christmas card, and there's those guys. There's the three wise men, and they're all decked out in all kinds of things. And the problem is that we think it's just three guys on a couple of camels. But the problem is that when you look through it in the research, these guys were probably much more than wise men, although they weren't probably kings. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit. But there were probably an entire caravan and not just three camels and three guys. There was probably an entire entourage of people because they represented it most likely kings. You see, the custom back in that day was if there was a new king announced in another country, then you wanted to make sure that you knew that guy, whether it was an initial introduction so that if you had to go to war with him later, you'd know what you were dealing with, or whether it was to develop a relationship. So probably an entire entourage is what accompanied these guys. So can you imagine the scene in Bethlehem when they did show up? They're talking about no room in the inn. There's probably no room for that whole group of people to come to this little bitty town. But we look at these wise men, and just who were they? Well, I'll tell you one thing. I know that they were men for two reasons. Number one, they had to stop and ask for directions. And number two, they were late for the birth. So that probably qualifies a lot of men. I don't know what I was thinking. Is today when we're going to have the baby? So anyway, that's these guys. But they've been called wise men, they've been called kings, the Bible even calls them the Magi. And when we look deeper into the definition of who they are, like I said, they probably weren't kings. In fact, they were probably astrologers. Now, they looked at the skies and they gazed the heavens to see these signs and these omens to help them predict the future. And isn't it interesting that something that God forbid in the Old Testament was something that he used to expose himself to these strangers, these pagans from faraway country? But they were probably, like you and I would understand, the most unlikely of all Christmas heroes. But there they show up. They're not a part of the angelic announcement, but yet God brings them into this entire circumstance. And we've heard several times, every year you hear it, wise men still seek him. And it's a great little phrase. And when you look at these men, you understand that these are the original wise men. They're the ones that got the whole ball rolling. They're the ones that took off on the trek, the quest, the journey to come and see Jesus. And we honor them today as seekers. They were looking for something. They were seeking this thing that the star drove them to. And they were driven by this quest to know the unknown. They were willing to go over incredible journeys, a long period of time. They're willing to sacrifice much. Whatever it took is what they were going to take, that were going to endure to get there. And as such, we know them as these tremendous men who traveled great distances to see the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I've heard it said that there are only two kinds of explorers. There are the seekers and the satisfied. The satisfied are the people that explore, and once they see something, they go, okay, I've seen it, done, been there, done that, bought the t-shirt, and they're on about their way. But a seeker, once you find it, you begin to ask the more important questions. Why is it here? What significance does it have in my life? How does it work? What do we do with this thing? What does it mean to my life? Where will it take me? That's what a seeker does. But the satisfies is once you get there, you're done. You know, just mark it off. It's a checklist, so to speak. But that's not who these men were, and that's not who we want to be. So what about these unique men we call the wise men or the seekers? Let's look a little deeper into their life because there are implications for us as well. First of all, you'll understand that a seeker takes the time and effort to investigate spiritual matters. They take the time and effort to find out what the spiritual significance in all of this is. Christmas is one of those tremendous holidays that so much is happening that if you're not careful, you can get busy, occupied, preoccupied with all of the glitter, so to speak. And you know what? We've always had the comparisons about commercial Christmas and spiritual Christmas and all those other things. But you know what? Sometimes it just takes a little time and effort to look underneath the surface and see what really, really lurks there in the spiritual world of what Jesus Christ meant to us when he was born of this baby. Matthew, the second chapter, says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.'" These men, we call them magi or the wise men, were probably from Persia. That's modern-day Iraq for you and I. They understand that we knew that when they saw the star, they acted upon its significance. Remember, they're astrologers. I don't know how this happened. I don't know what it looked like. And you and I, probably in the modern day that we live in, we see the stars all the time. There's nothing kind of new that has shown up that really just overwhelmed us. Matter of fact, the things that overwhelm us have to be magnified. It has to go through NASA or some kind of scientific effort for it to be something that we even pay attention to. We don't look to the heavens. We don't pay attention to those things. But in that day, God used a star, a very visible star, a very specific star. And in that days, it was also thought of, along the astrologers, when a new star showed up, that it represented a new birth, something very, very significant, probably a king or a person, or there was a new birth of a land, and that's why these guys were so interested. So here's the thing that is interesting to me. They took a trip to Jerusalem, Israel, Bethlehem specifically. There was over a 500-mile journey, if indeed they were from Iraq. Whether you do that by camel or horse, they were probably in this entourage I told you about earlier for over 3 months. They went a long, long way to get there. And the question that you and I have to ask is, would we do that? Number one, no, because it's not our calling. There was a whole lot of people that didn't go with them. So we shouldn't feel bad because we're not willing to get on the caravan, but stop and think about it. These guys specifically were ready to go and take the time and effort to find out what the spiritual implications of this star and this star, if it did indeed represent a new king, what it meant to them and what it meant to the people that they represented, just to the point to where they would give up at least 3 months of their life getting there, 3 months of their life going back with the report of what happened, just to discover what this star meant in their life. And you and I are upset when it takes more than 5 minutes in McDonald's drive-thru to get what we want. And if you've been like me, have you ever just pulled off away and you look and you're going, this is not my food. And you're upset. Or maybe there's pickles on your hamburger and they're not supposed to. We get so upset over a little bitty thing. We put more effort into being upset with what we got wrong instead of the spiritual implications of just getting it right. And here's what these men were doing. It really should embarrass us, the things that we're not willing to take the time and trouble to do, to investigate, to look beyond the surface. Because a lot of times we just accept the title as it is and we live with it. Let me tell you what, if things aren't going well in your life, if you're not satisfied with the spiritual circumstances of your life, of your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're not satisfied with your marriage, if you're not satisfied with the way things are going, if you're not satisfied with things in your family, then you know what? Don't put up with it. But don't get angry. What good does that do? Investigate. Put some time and effort into finding out what God wants to do with this. Sometimes things happen to us that God either allows or God brings into our life, and we don't like that second phase, do we? It's okay if God allows it because then it kind of probably was natural, but if God brought it to me because he wants to teach me something, I really don't know if I want to take the time and effort to find out what God's really trying to tell me. I just want God to take care of it. I just want God to heal it. I just want God to remove it. I just want God to write me a check. But we got to take the time and effort. And listen, we should take the time and effort to do things that probably don't make sense to us. You see, I'll take time and effort to put a lot of energy and effort and work and break a sweat on something, but a lot of times I have to really be motivated to read or to study or to research or to sit down and just have a conversation. One of the greatest wounds that you'll ever experience is probably not because of what somebody did to you physically. It's because of what they said about you or the things that didn't happen. It's the times we were snubbed or the times that we were ignored or the times that we felt like we were pushed to the side in the sense of this crowd
That's where the greatest wounds occurred. But why don't we ask the question, what's going on? Ask the things. Why don't we pursue that and find out if we feel like there's a little tension between someone else, that we would ask the question, have I offended you? Is there something going on? Time and effort is the least of your worries. Resolution is what we really ought to be working for. I want a resolution to this. Instead of walking around with that agonizing question, God, is there more? Because if you ask God, is there more, God will give you an answer. And it's a pretty good one most of the time. Matthew 7:7 says this, ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. And listen, don't give up if the answer doesn't come quickly. I don't know if they knew how to measure this thing, but I just have always had this picture in my mind that, you know, here's these guys traveling and the star just keeps moving. It's like that horse with the carrot dangled in front of it. They're going, if they could just stop that carrot, we'd be over with. I just want to get this thing done, but they just kept moving and kept moving. And I wonder how many times they're going, are we supposed to keep going here? What's the deal? You and I would be frustrated saying, I'm going home. You know what? It reminds me of the Egyptians. Remember they got out there, they had been delivered from slavery. Here's, you know, Moses leading them out there. They get to this Red Sea thing, and now there's this obstacle on the other side of them is the Egyptian. And they said to Moses, they said, hey, why don't you just leave us in Egypt to die? They would rather have satisfied themselves with where they were instead of letting God really bless them the way they did. Listen, a seeker takes the time and effort to investigate spiritual matters. This Christmas season, let's push through a little bit. Let's just suck it up and let's just go the extra mile. Let's just put a little more effort into it. Let's just ask the second question, even if it makes a third, fourth, and fifth question. Let's just keep going until we find out what's really, really going on so that we can be satisfied and feel God moving in our life. The second thing is this. A seeker is not satisfied with the status quo. Seekers don't like normal. Matter of fact, they walk into the room, if they see it like it was yesterday, they want to mix it up so it's new today. Now, they want to just rearrange stuff. If you're married to somebody that wants to move the furniture every few days, then you got a seeker. And you probably have sore toes, too, because you're always bumping into something. Or doesn't it just drive you crazy? Now, I know I talk an awful lot about my wife, and it's probably because I just love her so much. God has given me this tremendous gift in life. And every year, we put up lights on our house mostly. Last year, I didn't do it. But then this year, I knew that my grandbaby is old enough to where she'd see it. So, I mean, I don't know if this is spiritual enough to say it, but I have busted my rump putting all of these lights up. And when I put up lights, it's like the airport goes, would you turn those off a little bit? We got planes diverting over there, all right? And they're always in a straight line. I mean, I believe in a straight line. So put all this effort. So I get all this stuff, and I can't wait for my wife to come home and see this. And she goes, you know, you need to put some over here. What she doesn't know is it takes a truck with a lift and a helicopter crane to get over there. But I promise you, she's not going to be happy till we do that. She is a seeker when it comes to Christmas lights. It's just amazing how that goes. I'm going, you know, you need to be happy with this, you know. I want to tell you how I did that, but then it just wouldn't even show wisdom at all. So I'm not going to tell you how I got them on the house. All right. I don't advise you do it, by the way. Okay. Matthew, the second chapter, says, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. It is amazing. Here we have the seekers from Persia who are asking directions from the satisfied in Jerusalem. They're the ones that had the news. They were the ones that had all of the information. It was right outside their door, so to speak, but yet they didn't even take the time to go and look because they just liked things the way it was. Let me tell you about King Herod. I don't know that much about him, but I know this much. He didn't have any room in his life for another king. And one king is enough. I'm on the throne. I don't need to be threatened by anything. And you know, it's amazing when you look a little bit further what he went to, because he didn't want those changes. He didn't want anything to happen. He was willing to kill to make it happen. Look at Matthew, the second chapter, verse 16. Because in fact, to preserve the status quo, he went on a killing spree. So when Herod saw that he was deceived by the wise men, he was exceedingly angry, and he set forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all of its districts, from 2 years old and under, according to the time when he had determined from the wise men. There's a dark side to Christmas, and the dark side is represented that Herod didn't want anything changed, so he just called everything to a screeching halt. You know, every one of us probably have stories of a grandparent or somebody who just became cold and indifferent. They just decided that God wasn't blessing them anymore, and they just became crusty and cold and very crude and immovable. They weren't likable. No one liked to be around them because, you know what? They had just decided to just turn all of those things off. I think that was the heart of Herod. Herod said, I'm in charge here. I don't have no room for a king, especially if he's supposed to be, as Scripture and its prophecy had said, the king of Israel. His throne was threatened. So he just wanted to protect his borders. God forbid that we become so protective of ourselves that we decide that the status quo is all that we're going to settle for because we just like things the way they are. I want to be in control and I want to stay in control. Sometimes it's just the opposite. I want somebody else to be in control and I don't want to stir the pot. I just like to be things right where they are. But what about the religious of Jerusalem? Because there were religious people there. Even after this event, there had to be an extreme awareness of the spiritual conflict that was in Jerusalem. But what a contrast, because the pagans who were willing to travel over 500 miles to see this new king, but yet right there in the city of Jerusalem, knowing the prophecy themselves, they weren't even willing to go 6 miles because that was the distance between Bethlehem and Jerusalem to see the birth and to honor the birth of the newborn king. All of this was very evident, but they decided they're not going to do it. It's the satisfied versus the seekers. You see, we have a lot of people and satisfied in the church too. And if you're satisfied in the church, here's the thing that you understand. You have a church and you have a religion. The problem is you have no relationship. If you're a seeker, you want a relationship. You know, you could sit in this church all day long, and whether I do great sermons or not, doesn't matter if we have great singing or not, doesn't matter any of those things, that whether it thrills you on the inside or the outside, you got to decide whether you really want a deeper relationship with God. Because a seeker says, I want to push beyond the surface. I don't want to just be wowed by music. I don't want to have a pastor who can just deliver a decent sermon. I want more. If this isn't about what God wants to do in your life, then we're looking at the wrong place. If we're seeking people on TV, if we're seeking a conference, or we're seeking a setting, we're seeking a relationship, you know what we need to be seeking is the Lord God and Savior. That's what we need to be looking for. And some of us have a church and we have a religion, but we need to have a relationship because that's where seekers go the extra mile. The other thing is, if you're satisfied, you know the plan of God. They knew the prophecy, but they had no passion for God. Something should have driven these people to say, let's go see for ourselves instead of sending these wise men. Maybe they were embarrassed. Maybe they go, we knew all along, but we didn't care. They just were a little embarrassed. I don't know. The other thing is this. I'm going to tell you, if you're satisfied, you're driven to keep things exactly the way they are. I just want to maintain. I just want to keep it exactly the way it is. But a seeker says, man, I want a vision. I want a purpose. I want to turn things upside down. I want it to be better. If there's any of you that have gotten to that point in your marriage where you just want it to be what it is and I don't want any new surprises, then shame on you. Man, you should be seeking what the next level in your marriage should be. If there's a relationship you have with God, a relationship we have with another person, whatever it is, man, don't satisfy yourself with the status quo and say, you know, I just got to live with this. No, you don't have to live with that. There's some things you can't change, but God can change everything. But you got to be the one that pushes a little bit further and decides what that would be. The third thing is a seeker always follows through on God's leading. When God says, let's go this way, they always follow through. They don't ask the wrong questions. They don't anticipate, you know, hesitation. They just go. They just go. You know, there are some people that they get in more trouble because they just go. You know, they don't even think about it. They don't plan a whole lot. But you know what? Even though they may have some problems with that mentality, they stir things up, don't they? They just get things done. I mean, right, wrong, or different, they may have to back up and redo it. But I think that's a lot more productive versus the person that you have to build a fire under them. I'd rather put out a fire than build a fire, wouldn't you? When it comes especially to spiritual enthusiasm, I'd rather say, listen, would you guys quit yelling so much? I'm trying to preach here. But instead I have this. I have you. Now, I'm just kidding. Smile a little bit. You know, if that was your personality, that's fine. But let's not hold back because we don't know if it's appropriate. You know, if you feel like busting out, just say it. Whatever. Scream it. Yell it. Just don't run, okay, because I'll tackle you. We have people in this church that carry a gun. If you get close up here, they'll take you out. You think I'm kidding, don't you? Now you don't know if I'm kidding. See, sometimes you just have to throw it out there, and maybe you have to back up, but it's worth saying because it stirred the crowd up a little bit. Now you're going to look at everybody a little differently. What's on his hip? Oh, thank goodness, it's only a phone. I got to tell you, anytime you embark on a spiritual journey, you know what you're going to hit? You're going to hit an obstacle. Something's going to come up in front of you, and you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to exercise your faith. Something is going to hit you square in the face and say, I don't think so. But if you're following God, you're always going to have those obstacles. Think about the Magi. They had a desert. They had 500 miles. Then when they got to Jerusalem, they were treated with apathy at best, hostility at worst. And then they had to still get to Bethlehem and find out what house the kid is in. So they had all these things. But you know what? They didn't quit. They didn't quit. God gave them direction. God gave them leadership. And they followed. What if they had gotten 499 miles, but then decided to quit? The greatest regrets you and I have in life, most of them are we got this close and decided we couldn't go any further. Or what's even worse, we wouldn't go any further. I'm going to say something that's very difficult, but it's a great time of year to say it. Some of you are so unsatisfied with some dynamics in your family. Maybe there's somebody that's really rubbed you wrong. Maybe there's a relationship that's really hurt you. And you've decided, I've gone as far as I'm going to go. But let me tell you, if God says, I want you to go further, don't let your attitude keep you from following through with what God asks you to do. Swallow a little pride. Be willing to say, hey, I'm willing to get hurt again because God will take care of me, but I am not going to be the one that said, it's done, it's over. Push through and let God use you in that respect because they did not quit. I'm telling you, being a seeker takes a lot of faith. It takes a lot of extra steps. And we would rather just sit down and ride this thing out, but God says, no, I need you on your feet. I need you busy. I know it's wearisome. I know it's wear you out. I know it's physically tasking, but I need you in the game because I have something awesome for you on the other side of that. Let's look at that. Number four is a seeker will never be the same. A seeker will never be the same. Let's look at Matthew 2, verses 11 through 12. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed from their own country another way. The Magi was looking for a nameless, faceless king. You know what they got? A personal audience with Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior of our life, the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One. I don't know that they knew that was going to happen. I don't know if they were able to embrace it to the full extent that we do, theoretically, if nothing else, at Christmas. But you know what? They had to have shown up and just said, where's the fanfare? I mean, I can't imagine that Jesus, the baby Jesus, was glowing. But I bet he saw a glow in their face. I bet he saw a glow when all of these things took about them. Because this is removed from the stable in the manger. Remember that? This is down the road. This is where the shepherds are standing there going, guess what I heard? Guess what I saw? This isn't any of that. Now Mary and Joseph with their son Jesus is just in a house in Bethlehem. That's where they are. All the glitz and glitter is gone. But there they are, and they understand what's going on. Listen, once you found Christ, and you will find him if you truly seek him, you will never be the same. You'll do things differently. Listen, I look back at it, and I'm sorry, forgive me, because this is just me, and it's about me. But when I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, there are so many things that changed immediately. Boom, things that I said never say again. Things that I did have never done again. My life changed immensely. It was a 180. I went totally the other direction. You will be different when you find him. Well, listen, Maybe some of you don't have those glaring differences that need to happen in your life. Maybe you're not addicted to drugs. Maybe you don't get drunk every weekend. Maybe you don't look at pornography on a regular basis. Maybe this, maybe this, maybe this. But I'm going to tell you what, God still wants to do something incredibly brand new in your life on a daily basis. And if you will continue to seek Him, you will never be the same. You will be different every day. It'll be like waking up, like Paul said, I die daily. Every day is an adventure with you. It's a brand new journey. It's God doing something brand new in your heart. So if it's grown cold, if the fire's going out, then seek Him once again today. Because that's exactly what He wants to do. You may not change the circumstances. You may not be able to change your situation, but God can. You know what it says in Jeremiah 29:13? You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. So seek Him and trust Him, because you'll never, ever be the same. He'll never lead you astray. His guidance will always be perfect. Listen, God knows what He's doing. I love telling this story. There was a guy named Hugh Smith. Hugh passed away years ago. Hugh was in our church in Woodlake Assembly of God. His daughter and son-in-law were youth sponsors in our church. And every year, Hugh would just gather all of this stuff and take it to Mexico. He had this white trailer, I mean, everything, clothing, furniture, you name it. And he would haul it to Mexico and give it away to a local pastor down there. And one year, after collecting everything, he noticed he has one left shoe. I mean, just one shoe. And he literally almost threw it away. But he decided to take it. You know the rest of this story. You're ahead of me. He gets down there. He finds this pastor that he's only got a left leg. He's lost his right leg. And you know what he needs? He needs a left shoe. And it happened to, guess what? Fit. Imagine God doing that. It was awesome. Now, a girl would want to know if it matches his eyes, but I don't know. I don't go that far. But it's just cool how God does that. He knows what He's doing. He knows where He's leading you. So you know what? We'll never be the same if we will just follow His leading and allow Him to do it. But you got to seek to do that. You know what? Seekers don't sit back. Seekers pursue. That's the goal. That's the one thing you need to understand. The satisfied sit back and say, bring it to me. But the seekers say, you know what? I'll go and find it, and I'll bring it back. They're the ones that are fetchers. They're the ones that go and club it over the head and bring it back to the cave. That's the mentality that they have. Listen, let's bring this to a close. Since we know that God knows what He's doing, let me go back over those points real quick. Are you willing to take the time and an effort to investigate the spiritual things in your life? Are you willing in your marriage, in your relationships, and especially your relationship with Christ, are you willing to put a little effort and time into saying, God, what do you have for me next? And are you settling for the status quo? Here's the most condemning thought of the day. That we have found ourselves in this lull, just sitting satisfied where we should have never, ever been sitting in the first place. We should have been pursuing. And are we willing to follow through with God's leading? Because God's not holding back. God hasn't ceased communicating. God has not ceased leading. There's a million different things He's given us, but are we willing to follow through? And if so, guess what? You'll never, ever be the same. My prayer for you this Christmas season is that you will be a seeker. You'll put the time and effort into what God is doing. That you will follow His leading. That you'll look at the mundane status quo, everyday stuff and say, never again. Never again. But that you'll follow Him. You know why? Because Jesus says, I came to make a difference in your life. I didn't come to leave you the way I found you. I came to change you. And that's what I think He wants to do in your heart today. Father, in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice. I pray that as we read and examine and look at this story, fabulous story, of men, unknown men, who had titles and descriptions, but they traveled many, many miles. They traveled so far just to see what the star was leading them to, with probably little to no definition as to what was going on. But yet somehow God was in it, and God showed them where He wanted them to go. And when they arrived, tremendously surprised by the efforts that they had given, they found this incredible babe, this child who was to be the King of the Jews. And they were so moved, and God so stepped into their life that they never, ever saw themselves being the same again. May that be true of all of us today. So, Lord, will you right now, as I continue, as I conclude this prayer, will you search deep within our hearts? And if there's someone here today that is needing to just become that seeker versus someone just literally satisfied with what's going on right now, I pray you'll give us the urgency and the effort that it can only come from God above. I pray that you'll fill our hearts with a goal and with a dream. Give us a vision, oh God. Help us to follow through with the things that you've put in our life. Help us to never, ever again settle for just what is normal. But instead, let us pursue the supernatural. Let us pursue you. May this Christmas season be a fabulous season. And if there's anyone here that does not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I invite you to just greet me after the service. I'll be down front. I would love to pray with you so that he can touch your life and you'll never be the same. Maybe there's another issue. Maybe there's a circumstance in a relationship. Maybe there's something just lurking in your heart that just needs the company of prayer. I'd be more than happy to pray. Will you please just search me out in the front of this auditorium, and I would love to pray with you before we leave today. God grant us this prayer, the personal visitation of your Son, Jesus Christ, for it's in his name we pray.